Hey, this is Mark from Coruscant Nights, and we're going to be recording a bunch of new episodes in July and August with guests from some great podcasts you might have heard of, like Flight Risk, Force Majeure, and Dicey Cantina. You know what that means? With Donate for Destiny, you can meddle with the fates of my players and help kids out at the same time. Check out Dicey's show notes for more info, or visit us at coruscantnights.com/destiny. Thanks, and may the Force be with you.
Combat! Ace enters the ring to take on the Templar boxers in the western wilds of Druckenwell. With Lizzie in his corner, can they draw enough attention allowing Zack the chance to slip away with the very important credentials? Find out in this exciting conclusion of The Recon Hop.
Is anyone in here tough enough to take on a retired clone?
Lizzie jumps right in. Fresh from the Clone Wars, we have a prime specimen ready to fight. Right here in the arena right now, can we get a hand for the mysterious stranger in corner two? She starts hyping, like for real hyping.
And Ace is also going to, I think he's going to pull his knife out of his boot,
okay,
which he's had the whole time, and kind of tosses it from hand to hand, does like a little Django Fett style like trick, like whirls it around in one hand. To just look extra cool and tough.
Yeah. So add another boost dice. So you get two.
The off-worlder.
And it's going to be an average check. Yeah.
Okay. They might not like that I'm an off-worlder. I got two threats.
Just two threats?
Yep.
So the crowd soaks in this spectacle that you guys are creating. But all they see is, you know, a man who's looks like to be in his 60s, yep. Missing a leg, you know, still, I mean, not unmuscular or anything like that, but the prime was perhaps 30 years ago.
This off-worlder, nicely dressed, will he be red-carded?
And I think I think the crowd kind of breaks out into a little bit of a laugh. And I think that Ace suffers a strain.
That's fair. Sure, yeah. His pride's a little hurt. Yeah.
We'll see who's laughing in 5 minutes. I serve up this guy's head at all of you.
Which junior executive wants to step up?
So the knuckle-cracking guy steps out into the middle of the ring first. And instead of doing, like, rounded combat, because that can take a while, we're going to do some you're going to do some opposed brawl, or melee, rather, if you're using your knife checks.
Yeah, okay. So, yeah, I think, you know, Ace jumps down from kind of high and lands in the dirt or concrete below, some dust, you know, kind of kicks up, and he's going to walk towards this knuckle cracking guy, knife in hand. Maybe he's like tossing it from hand to hand to kind of mess with this guy's expectations.
Yeah. And from the earlier leadership check, you kind of get a grin from this guy who's like,
fresh meat.
And the bell rings and he comes at you swinging, you know, giving that right cross haymaker. And let's do a hard melee check.
Okay. So, yeah, my melees and brawl both aren't that great, but at least I've got a knife. I do have some talents I want to try and use.
Yeah.
I have one that is called Quick Strike, where I can add a bonus die to combat checks against targets that have not yet acted during this.
Yeah, I'll take it. I think the narrative sound of that, you know, makes sense with your background. So since we're not rolling initiative, I'll take it.
Cool.
So, and you have three light side tokens.
I also want to aim.
Okay.
I feel like I'm really munchkinning when I do stuff like this, but I also have a talent that deals with aiming.
Okay.
I'm going to aim for like this guy's side. I want to give him kind of a wound that will make him just want to stop this fight before it gets too serious.
Go for okay. Kidneys.
So
what's the talent on the aim?
Okay, well I have an aim, or I have a talent that called steady aim. And steady aim is like really, really OP talent.
Okay.
That basically says you don't lose the benefit of the aim maneuver while making a maneuver or action. And you only lose it at the end of the encounter. So if you have the steady aim talent, my understanding, you aim, you get a boost die, and then you just keep getting that boost die for the rest of your encounter.
Okay.
It's really pretty pretty great.
Yeah. So before you roll, how but doing these as opposed does mean that failures will be hits against you too, right? So this, I'm fully willing to accept the talents and munchkining of it, because it's to shorten the combat, you know, you're going to take some damage if it's a failure as opposed to the success. So definitely have that aim boost dice in there.
Cool. I got two successes with four threats.
Okay.
So
what's the damage on the knife? Which one do you have?
I have the M8 combat knife. The damage is one, or it's plus one, plus my brawn, which is only two.
You got five is what that would add up to. Do you have more success? And then do you have pierce or anything?
I have accurate one and pierce one.
Okay, so we take away one of the threats then, if it's accurate.
Okay, so three.
And then, I'm sorry, what was the pierce?
One.
Pierce one. So you do a hefty amount of damage to this guy, wiping with the knife across his side. He, this is three threats?
Yep.
Okay, so he's staggered pretty hard, but he's not quitting. And a kind of wild reaction from him swings and knocks the knife out of your hand. And so you have, and he comes right back at you with another punch. So you'll have, you can make melee or brawl, but you don't have the benefit of the knife this attack.
Gotcha.
If Lizzie jumps in, like, does she have access to the mic? Like, can she be calling play by play or in a way that could impact combat, or is she just like,
so I think Lizzie's in the corner.
Yeah, definitely in the corner.
In his corner. I don't think she has access to the mic. I think there's an MC to it, but, after this next combat check against this person, we'll do a round of help, basically.
I just and know if I
Zach's
need
Zach's lack of distraction, he'll have to decide what to do next. So.
Yeah. No, that's cool. I wanted to make sure, like, Lizzie's trying to create as big of a distraction and as much of an advantage as she can.
So let's make the next combat check, and then we'll change scenes.
Okay. So, yeah, my knife has been taken away. I've probably got... like, I've got an eye on it. Mm. Is it between my enemy and me?
So you basically kind of have the reaction boxing for this check as he's coming at you. Mm-hmm. So you got one roll where you don't have the knife.
Gotcha.
Behind the curtain. If you roll a success, he's out cold. Yeah. He had one kind of wound left. And so, yeah.
Cool. Okay. So this will be just a brawl check.
Yeah.
And maybe I can just narrate it depending on the failure.
Yeah. Makes sense.
One success.
Okay. So, the wild reaction to the slice that you gave this guy in the chest knocked the knife away. But how does Ace take this guy out?
I think that this guy, he sort of, the knife was knocked away, and this guy thinks it's his opportunity, and he goes in with a really, outstretched arm punch right at Ace. Mm-hmm. And Ace's experience has told him that this is really not how you fight in war. You don't, you know, lengthen your whole body out in front of your enemy. And he just takes a step to the side and throws a quick, short punch, cracks him right in the side of his head, and goes down.
Yeah, he just slumps over into the dirt of this arena, this makeshift arena, kind of billows out. And the crowd is you hear probably a mixed result of clearly some people had bet against Ace, and so they just lost their money. There's kind of the groan from that. But there's a few people who just took the odds on you, who just became a lot richer than they were before. There's definitely some people cheering you on. And there's kind of the MC in the middle of the ring kind of points over to a stool that's in the corner where Lizzie's standing, to that you have a moment to take a break between rounds.
Great job, buddy. You got this. Like, look at you. You got him on the ropes. She starts, like, massaging his shoulder. She finds, like, a water bottle from nowhere. It's full of vodka. She doesn't care. She, like, puts it right into his mouth. Like,
yeah, what is that?
It's, I don't know. It's good for you. Put hair on your chest.
It's hairy enough. Can't... covered in gray hair.
Yeah, you know, it'll maybe turn back time. It'll be great. Just like the glory days, right, man? He slaps him hard on the shoulder.
Fair enough. That guy wasn't too bad. This next guy looks like trouble.
Ah, you've seen trouble. This ain't it.
So we'll cut over to Zach now while you guys are having your pep talk in the arena. And the three guys are still, they turned initially when the crowd was being hyped. But after the laughter, they kind of went back to their work, figuring it wasn't a big deal. So what's Zach's plan?
I have a few, but none of them feel likely to succeed. How loud is the music and how thick are these blast doors?
I think you just have the low rumble from what's going on outside.
Okay. Oh, I have four options. I don't know if I'm picking the wrong one, but I'm going to commit. Okay. So Zach looks around. He knows he can't take these guys. So he feels as if he doesn't want the choice that he makes to be, have any likelihood of starting an engagement. So he quietly goes back to the blast doors, opens them up, or it opens when he gets close to them, and the guard looks back at him. And he nods his head back to the three guys going through the bags and says, they said they needed your help.
All right, let's roll a deception check.
Okay, what is the difficulty?
These guys are still just average.
Could I have a blue die since I'm wearing a robe and just came in from a secure, like he has no reason to doubt me. I'm coming from like a very highly secure area because I walked in with the guy.
Yeah, he saw you go in. You can have a blue die.
Okay, so what was it?
Two purple.
Two, got it. Thank you. Oh my, no. One failure and five advantage.
Okay. It could have been worse.
Yeah, I know.
Do you know how you want to spend that advantage?
Yes. I want to spend that five advantage and add my two advantage for my, what is it called? Quick strike? No, never mind. That's not how it works. What I want to do is basically I see that he doesn't believe me, and I want to trip him and push him into the door, or like through the door
back, so into the storage,
into the thing.
Okay.
I know what I want to do is throw him in there, throw a stun grenade in and shut the door.
Okay.
I don't know, I got nothing else.
So
I didn't trust my deception, and you can see why. Yeah. I didn't want to deceive the guys in the room.
That's totally something you can do. I will add that even though he doesn't buy the deception for advantage, he doesn't make that you are not who you say you are. Because you said they want your help. And he basically, his response to you can be a like, quit slacking off. Like, you do the grunt work, newbie.
Okay. Can I propose another option? Sure. Can he not? Yeah. Can he do that? Is there any advantage left to, well, dang it. Actually, is there any advantage left for them to be not done? Well, there's so many options, but none of them get into combat or I'm doomed. I wanted to do like the old, I don't know if you've seen the movie Dick and Jane paper swap, where I could get another data pad and they're walking by and I run into them and swap the data pad without them realizing it.
Oh, okay.
I don't know what else. Yeah, like a sleight of hand. I thought that might be like a stealth check.
Yeah, so I think you got another check after another round of combat in the boxing ring coming for that.
Okay, but I'm sorry that I delayed this.
No.
I didn't know what else
to do. No, this is good. Because I think that ultimately what we are spending your advantage on is that the nobody buys that the three guys in the room asked for the guard to come in and help.
Right.
But I think that for all five of that advantage, all four of the people that have now seen you believe you should come over and help.
Okay.
So you'll have another check, but the guys at the table are like, yeah, quit slacking off, get over here. And so everybody kind of buys that you're supposed to be in there. And so they have you sorting through data pads. But then there's this, but right before the blast door closes into the storage room, you hear the bell ding again, and we'll cut back to the arena. So how does Lizzie intend to aid in this combat?
Lizzie is full of encouraging words and what she hopes are devastating insults for the competition, which she knows better than to yell at Ace because he won't understand them as an off-worlder. But she is full of blue smoke for anybody who dares, you know, challenge him. And so, yeah, that's what she is doing. And she wishes she could do something more impactful, but you know, short of shooting someone, she really can't.
She doesn't have a gun to shoot with right now.
She doesn't.
So let's get a coercion check then from that.
A coercion check. All right. So yeah. He is like coercing Ace or...
So she's hurling insults at the next opponent.
She's absolutely hurling insults. She's calling them nerve burners and petchicks and... you know, she's saying that they're sandblasted seabirds, that all of the things on the list. Anyways, so yeah, she does that. And it's coercion, you said.
Coercion. And you're making a hard check upgraded once.
So two purples and a red?
Yep. And I flipped a token to make that red.
I bet you did. You would. All right.
I'm spending them all so that you guys can spend them. What's the result?
A success and two threat.
Success and two threat. So Lizzie goes a little bit hoarse, screaming these insults at the smuggler that's entered with the knife. But so she suffers two strain.
Okay.
And the distraction basically will allow Ace to upgrade the melee checks this round.
Yay!
Cool.
So how does Ace take the ring? Or does he? I mean, technically he doesn't have to walk out there, but you know.
I think he feels like he's gotta keep trying. That last fight wasn't too tough for him, so I think he's going in with confidence, although he might whatever he was drinking off towards the side of the ring, it's built his confidence up, but also it's making him feel a little tipped.
Yeah. You've got a setback for the vodka water.
Okay.
Look. It was what was handy, okay?
Well, do I take a boost for it as well for the inflated sense of physical power?
I'll take it. That's a decent argument or counter argument to the black die. I think having a boost and a setback is a perfect.
I like that because they could cast each other out. One could prevail. Right. You never know.
You don't know.
All right, so he's stepping into the ring, kind of. Approaching this similar to his last fight because things went pretty well. I think he got his knife back after the last fight.
Yeah. And you're facing off against a knife wielding opponent. Your dice pool Ace is a purple and a red.
Okay.
For this.
Just a purple and a red? Okay.
So less skill, more training, more, whatever that makes sense as.
Got it. So I've got the black and the light blue, which we just talked about, and I've got a light blue from the coercion that Lizzie did. And then
I was giving you an upgrade for that one since it was a harder check and she still needed at it. I think you can take an upgrade.
Okay, so I've got an upgrade. And then, if possible, I still would like to try and do my quick strike talent for this encounter.
Uh-huh.
And I've got this aim talent, so I guess I should try and aim again if I can.
Yeah, I'll take both of those.
Okay, cool. So I've got my pool.
Do you have enough dice?
I won't tell you what they are.
That's right.
I've got 8 dice here. So yeah, we're facing off and something happens. A lot of blank ones, majority. And all that washed out to one success.
Okay.
And one of these successes I rolled with one of my light blue. So it was one of my advantages.
Okay.
So the way my brother sometimes plays is like, so if it was one of my advantages, it was because of something that we gave Ace an advantage with was the reason for the success. So I think maybe like the coercion of all of these insults got to this guy a little bit and he lost a little confidence and maybe took a bad step, and Ace comes in and gets him real hard with stabs him in the shoulder with his knife.
Yeah. And I think that the crowd is kind of stunned in silence. And I think that Ace has a chance to remind them how awesome he is, you know, to create that distraction that Zach's looking for from that same pool leadership check. But definitely, definitely add a boost for having dispatched the first one and taken no damage from the second one. So I'm picturing it as, and you play it would make sense for your character, but I'm picturing it as you've got the Russell Crowe, Are You Not Entertained going.
So yeah, is that guy toast?
No, so you're gonna have one more. The round isn't over, but you definitely, there's definitely a pause in combat as Okay. You're far exceeding what their expectations were from what you said earlier.
Yeah, so he, you know, he kind of lifts his knife to the crowd and kind of flicks it towards the ground and flicks some blood off of it onto the dirt and rubs his foot over it and screams to the audience, like, and says, he says, boy, there's got to be something cool he can say.
Yeah, is he reacting to the hurt pride? Is he, how's he playing it up?
He says something like, you can always rely on a clone, am I right, everybody? Come on, give it up. Here to stay. Who's next?
Lizzie goes absolutely berserk. Like, she screams enough for, like, five people.
Okay, so take another boost dice for that scene.
She's rabid.
Since Lizzie's assisting.
Yeah, what's my difficulty?
What did we say? It was the average?
Okay. Okay, so that went really distractingly well.
Yeah.
I got a success with an advantage, and that success is a triumph.
Okay. I think there's kind of a quiet, awkward pause after Ace delivers his line, and there's a singular shout from Lizzie.
We're gonna win!
And a beat, and then the entire crowd erupts into chanting and cheering. They're going, Chloe, 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 Chloe.
Yeah, she's into it.
And you had a triumph and an advantage there. And so I think that the three guys at the counter in the storage room hear this just rambunctious crowd, and they kind of look at each other and slap the data pads into Zach's chest and like, here, newbie, finish up. And they take off outside the storage room.
I see. Leaving me with all the work, huh? Like always.
And the door closes and Zach's now alone in the storage room.
He goes on the data or goes on the comms. It's like, I don't know what you guys just did, but I have the data pad.
Lizzie whispers, excellent. Escape with him.
What are you guys going to do? I just hear a crowd yelling clone.
We're going to win. We're going to win.
So I think it's Zach's turn to make it out. So I think we need another stealth check.
Okay.
I assume that you're heading to the exit with the credentials that you need.
I want to head back where I came from, if that's what you mean by exit.
Exit the building with the credentials.
Oh, it's like a whole thing. Okay. What's the difficulty?
So it's average, but you've got a boost dice for the distraction.
Okay. Oh my gosh. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 successes, 2 advantages, and a triumph.
I forgot how good you were at stealth. I made that way too easy.
I'm really good.
Do you guys mind if I kind of hand wave, spin this stuff towards the end of the story here?
Do it.
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
So the way I see this going down is if you were making a group check, it might have been a little bit more difficult. But with 5 successes, you would be able to cover your allies as well as yourself, right? And so I see Zach, you know, having pocketed the data pad in his Templar robes, stride towards the exit, and he takes a look back at the crowd in the arena chanting for the clone. I think he sees Ace, hands in the air, you know, reveling in the moment of the praise, and taking a step out the door, reaches his hand over and flips out the lights in the hangar and strolls off into the darkness and giving Lizzie and Ace the cue to head for the exit in the confusion. And I honestly think that that is where I would like to end the story, if you guys are cool with that.
Yeah, sure.
Because you've succeeded in getting the credentials you needed, and I don't know, it just felt appropriate to in the confusion that you guys would make it out.
So we did it.
You did it. Thank you guys for playing, Doug. Thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
It was a blast. It really was.
Yeah, that was fun. I'm excited for the next one.
As the guest star, is there anything you want to tell our audience, anything you want to plug for them to check out for you, from you?
From me, I mean, I'm an artist. I sell some artwork. If you're interested in looking any of it up, you can find me at voidboy.art. It's like hard to say, but that's what it is. But if you're a tabletop RPG actual play podcast listener, You should check me out on some of the episodes of Coruscant Nights. Probably be showing up on some of the future episodes of my brother's other podcast, The Other Place.
Yeah. I mean, if you made it this far, you're definitely a fan of actual play podcasts. So those are two I would definitely recommend. And I definitely have checked out your art and enjoy it too. So everybody should go do that. All right. Well, thanks for playing, guys.
Had so much
fun. Thank you. Thank you for hosting.
This was the best. Thanks for joining us in the Dicey Cantina. Enjoying the show? Consider giving us a 5-star review on your favorite podcatcher and reach out on Twitter at Dicey Cantina, shoot an email to diceycantina@gmail.com, or record us a message over on our page at anchor.fm. We'd love to hear from you. Your support truly helps the show grow. And for a preview of another exciting podcast, stay tuned after the credits. We want to say thanks to Doug for joining us in this series. You could view Doug's art at voidvoid.art and find Doug as many an intriguing character on the Coruscant Nights podcast. Be sure to check out his latest endeavor on The Other Place podcast. The Other Place is a Genesis actual play podcast set in a wonderfully homebrewed world facing an undead apocalypse from the creators of Coruscant Nights. You might even want to go back a couple episodes and hear me read their epic creation myth. Also, did you know that Donate for Destiny is already nearing a third of its $500 goal? Influence our Destiny pool and that of other great podcasts like Coruscant Nights, Starbirds, Flight Risk, and New Republic Radio with your donation to the Child's Play charity. Child's Play provides toys and video game consoles to kids in hospitals and domestic violence shelters to help make their stay more comfortable. For every $4 you donate, you can add a light side token to our game pool, or for $10, you can make the Destiny pool all light or dark on any of the participating podcasts. Visit diceycantina.com/destiny for this fun way that you can make a difference. Listen up for the following special preview, but in the meantime, that's all for now. So pull up a stool and we'll see you here next week in the Dicey Cantina.
The Empire is no longer a single entity, but rather fractured remnants striving to reclaim some galactic power. The Rebellion has evolved into the New Republic, a government with a goal of achieving true democracy, but burdened by repairing the damage done by a generation of tyranny. In between fall many of the same people who fell through the cracks under previous administrations. New Republic Radio begins in the era after the Battle of Endor in Return of the Jedi, just around the same time as The Mandalorian, and about 20 to 25 years before The Force Awakens. The stories that we seek to tell in New Republic Radio are those of the ordinary beings in the galaxy who are confronted with extraordinary circumstances. Everyone is a hero or villain of their own story, and we broadcast those stories. This is New Republic Radio. Expand the galaxy.